Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hello, everybody.
Halo.
Halo.
As you said.
I was trying to not say hey, hey again, but then it came into
be
Halo.
Yourself.
Be myself. Hey, hey.
That's right. That's who we know.
There we go.
That's our Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here as well.
I always feel better. So most people don't know this. Maybe you do. I don't know how long after we talk about it, but we usually record two at a time usually.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always two at a time. Sometimes three, sometimes one, but most of the time two. And I always feel better the second one. So this is the second one in this recording. And I always feel better once we've kind of processed through the first one. I don't know. So feel a little more free at this point. So anyway.
So if you're hearing this one, I'm going to give them some background.
Yeah,
if you're hearing this one, we recorded this 2 weeks ago.
Yes, that's correct. Which is always weird. It's so strange to do this. I feel this on Sunday mornings with the stupid online church, which I just don't like.
The online stuff.
It's
not the same. Yeah.
I don't like it, but it's a necessity, right? But I don't like it. But anyway, and it does, and it serves the body. The way I've had to come to this is all so off track, right? But you took me there when you said,
let's go.
So it's so off track.
Side quest.
Here's what I had to come to. So there's this big wrestling in your mind,
mm-hmm.
especially. So we were doing online church before COVID. And then when COVID hit, it was like a necessity.
Right.
And then what you kind of realize is, well, everybody's online, so everybody you'd want to reach is online, right? And then I got to the point where I was realizing I don't want to reach people to an online service only because they can never connect to the body of the church, right? So I would rather somebody who lives in another state go to a church than just watch our church online. You know what I'm saying? So what I had to come to is why do we do this then? Why do we even fool with online church? And then I realized, I was like, no, this is why we do it. The reason we do it is to serve the body when they are sick, traveling, and one of the biggest ones is work schedules, right?
Yep.
Because people now have crazy work schedules. So they can still stay connected to the teaching and the worship of the church and the information of what's going on, right? That holy pep rally, which is what a Sunday morning is supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
That engages us through the rest of the week, and it's to serve the body. And so if people end up watching from long ways or far away and are not connected to anything in church, that's just extra. I hope that they do connect to a church.
Yeah.
Right, in their area, a local church. But the reason we do it is for those. So it's always so weird on Sunday mornings when you're talking to people and you reference the online people because you don't know whether they're watching you at that moment, 2 hours later in the afternoon, 3 months later,
a year later.
Right? You don't know. So it's just so weird. Same thing with the podcast where we're like, hey, how you doing? We're actually talking to you 2 weeks in the past and you're 3 weeks in the future, right? It's the same thing on a podcast. Somebody be listening to this one right now. 4 years after we recorded it, you know?
You're like, no way, that was 2 weeks ago.
Right, right. Anywho, what are we doing today, Steph?
Today, we are in our same series called Any Questions, and it's actually our sub-series where we're answering a question from Charlene Holt. The question is, how can Christians be salt and light in workplaces? So we have been covering like a 5-part sub-series. Yeah. It's been 5 ways to worship God while you work.
Wonderful question.
Yes.
And so insightful, and I think so timely, right?
So timely.
So timely, especially in the world that we live in now. And I really do believe, and we've been talking about this for a long time now, working on some stuff behind the scenes. I really do believe that the workplace is one of the primary mission fields in the world, not just in America, for the spread of the gospel. And so her question comes in. I was like, man, I got some stuff on this. We shouldn't answer this in one episode. So mm-hmm. we just been processing through what does work that is worship. How do we make our work worship, and what does that look like? And so we've answered quite a few. This is like the fourth one in it, and so we'll just jump right into it. So if you missed the last one, we talked about ethics. How do you shine salt and light in the workplace? You be the trustworthy person. You have high standard of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a high standard of excellence and doing unto God in the episode before that. The one before that, we talked about how you got to see your work as being part of you in the co-creating with God, right? That we were made to work. And today, what we want to say is that worshipful work makes blessing others the bottom line.
I love that.
The bottom line is not how much money can our company make, how much money can my division make, how many, let's say it's not about money, it's nonprofit reputation. Or people oriented, mm-hmm. right? How's our reputation? How many customers or clients can we serve appropriately, right? Mm-hmm. It's not numeric based. The bottom line is not, let's go with church. Bottom line is not how many people did we have at Sunday service or what's our offering, right? If you've been into an old church, you'll see a little sign on the wall up by the chancel area, right, where behind the pastor, and it'll say last week's attendance and last week's offering, right? The church has been measuring our success in attendance and offering for way too long, right? So that's not the bottom line. If you're going to turn your work into worship, if you're going to be salt and light in your workplace, then your bottom line is blessing other people. And so to follow Jesus means that you think about your life the way he thought about his, right? If we're going to follow Jesus, then everything we're going to do is going to be in step and in line with what Jesus did. So we're going to think about our life like he thought about his. And the way he thought about his is an offering to serve others. And so our life has to be, we're constantly thinking about our life as an offering to God Almighty to serve other people. We're going to lay our life down for Jesus. We're going to lay our life down for our brothers and sisters. For Jesus, we're going to lay our life down for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our workplaces where we spend the majority of our time, we've got to see that the bottom line of my work has nothing to do with me building my career, reputation, all those things will come, right? It has nothing to do with how much money we make or how well we do or whatever. What I'm going to do with my work is I'm going to lay down my life in this place I spend all my time to serve the other people around me. Steph, read 2 Corinthians 8:9, chapter 8, verse 9.
Mm-hmm. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich.
Yeah, so there's a bunch in 2 and 1 Corinthians about Jesus doing this, right? But he leverages his assets, he leverages his position of strength for other people, right? So he takes his position and uses it to serve other people. He takes his assets, his who he is, his connection with the Father, all these things, and Jesus never uses any of his authority and power for anything that terminates on him. Nothing. Like he is this, I mean, if you think about this, crazy. Like Jesus walks in this world with an incredible amount of power and authority. I mean, he can do anything he wants to anytime he wants to.
True that.
And he never, not one time, uses any of it for anything that terminates just on him. It's always leveraged for other people. It's always used for other people. He's laying that he's king of all the world, right? He's God of all things, and he comes now not just to us or with us, but beneath us, right? And so that's what he's doing. So when you follow Jesus, he's requiring you to do what he does, and which means you're going to leverage all the places of your strength to bless and to serve other people. So your role in your work is not just the role. It is, how do I use this role, use this work to bless and serve other people? That's going to be coworkers, that's going to be customers, that's going to be clients, that's going to be whatever it is that you do. But the idea is that you're going to do what Jesus did, and Jesus is going to lay down his life. And so how do you shine the light of Jesus in your workplace, salt and light, like Charlene was asking? Well, you're going to be constantly laying down for those other people. What does that look like? Like it may just be your attitude. It may just be that you're the one who's going to have a joyful, service-oriented attitude in your workplace, that you're going to be the person that is joyful, right? And so you're going to serve people and not be irritated that you got to help them, right? But you're going to have that, you know, just an easy way for it to play out, right? I'm going to have joy in serving you. You're going to forgive people in the workplace. Right?
Yeah, that's
there's
a lot of
animosity that happens in the workplace, right? And so what you're going to do is you're going to be the one who leads the way in forgiving, not because they deserve it and not because it'll make your work better, but because Jesus led the way in forgiving and he's your Lord, right? He's your
that's
master
right.
And you're trying to do his will. And if you want to do the will of God, all you got to do is try to do your best what Jesus was doing. And so you're going to be the person who initiates forgiveness in the workplace. Here's another one. You're going to be the peacemaker in the workplace, not the peacekeeper. Right? Mm. You're not trying to keep. I said this from stage a couple weeks ago, just accidentally, and I guess just Holy Spirit. But peacemaking is hard.
You're right.
And that's what Jesus calls us to do. In the kingdom of God, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Peacemaking is hard. Peacekeeping is cowardly.
Yeah, right? You're right.
Keeping the peace in the workplace is not what Jesus would do, right? That's not salt and light. You're not just trying to keep everybody happy and just kind of patch it up or put it under the rug and ignore it, right? And act like there's no big deal. Peacemaking is going, hey, no, we got a problem. We're going to solve this. We're going to work through it, you know, in a godly, loving, caring way. We're going to try to pursue peace. And so part of that's your attitude, but part of that's forgiving people, right? You're going to be the one who's going to try to make peace, make forgiveness in the workplace.
True that.
Man, if you're leading the way in that, you will distinguish yourself as something is different about this person because they actually care to repair relationships, right? It's not just, well, this is my work person. They don't have to like me. I don't have to like them. Just move on. Right. It's instead, no, we might not be best friends. Right. I'm not saying you got to be best friends with everybody you work with, but you're going to be the one who says, no, Jesus won't want us to peacemake. So we're going to make sure that we do that. For people who own a business or manage a business's profits. So maybe you're the person who's sort of paying attention to the bottom line all the time. It means that you think about more than just personal profits or those kind of things as your bottom line. Like you may be thinking, I know we can make a profit from this, but is this product or service genuinely helpful to people, right? And so, you know, like you're going, well, hey, we could pick up this line, this product line, or we could serve this group of people and this particular thing would pay us a lot of money. But does that genuinely help people? So you're not going to try to do something if it's not genuinely helpful. You know, put a product on a marketplace or sell a service that's not really going to help folks. So what's driving you at the end of the day is helping people. And what you see through Scripture is that if you follow the principles of doing right by people, that God will bless the business and those things in ways that you couldn't do or manipulate, right?
True
this
that.
This goes back to the business ethics thing last week too, right? It's doing the right thing. And when we're talking about in blessing others is take that a step further. It's not just doing the right thing. It's doing the right thing by other people. It might sound like this. Well, how can I use this business not to just enrich myself, but how can I use this business to bless other people, right? And so now it's my business, my profession, especially small business owners. It's not just how can I do this so that I can make the most money and be the happiest person and buy me a boat and play some golf, right, and get the nice clothes. Instead, it's how can I bless and help people with my business and allow God to take care of taking care of me, right? It's called a shepherd mentality. A shepherd mentality is, which is what you get from Jesus, obviously, but shepherd mentality is the shepherd takes care of the sheep. And if the shepherd takes care of the sheep right, the good shepherd takes care of the shepherd. Right. And so that's the sort of the mentality we need to have in our workplace, especially if you're a person who's managing a small business, you're an owner, or you're managing a business's profits, bottom line, you're the one kind of working on that stuff. You got to have a shepherd mentality. I'm going to do what's best for the sheep, and I'm going to trust God to do what's best for me as a shepherd. Right. So if you pay attention to shepherds in Scripture, shepherds are, and we see Jesus live this out like full on in human form. Shepherds are not caring for themselves very much. It's all about the sheep. And yet, the shepherd's needs seem to be met, right? That's the thought, is that we would care for the people who report to us, who we serve, our clients, our customers, right? Our congregation, our parishioners, whatever setting you're in. And that if we serve them correctly and care for them, then God will care for us, right? It doesn't mean you're not paying attention to your numbers. Nobody's saying any of that, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about. It just means that where is your heart? Where's the bottom line for you? What is it that is making you get up and go to work every day? If you are getting up and going to work every day specifically for the bottom line of your paycheck or your money, that's not being salt and light in your workplace. If you are going to work at the end of the day, of course I'm going to pay my bills and of course I'm going to earn a paycheck and I'm going to pay attention to those things. But the reason I'm getting out of bed is to serve these people, to help others, to bless others, to serve the world through this role God has me in, right? That's got to be the bottom line driving you to get out of the bed every morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've lived right. that. I've lived that wholeheartedly. And it might seem like it's easier to say this as a pastor, but it's really not. It might be more difficult. But I've had to fight through this because, you know, if I was getting up every day for the paycheck that I earn, I would do something else, right? If I was getting up every day for the acknowledgement or I don't know, whatever else you want to throw, I would do something else, right? What drives me to get up every day and push through is that God has me in a position to help and serve his people and the world around us. Those who are not his people yet. And that's my goal. And then God is going to take care of me and all those other things. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be diligent about them, but he's going to take care of me in those things. And so I'm not saying that you shouldn't make a profit, right? Sometimes pastors and Christians get hung up on, you know, this idea of businesses shouldn't make profits. Nobody's saying you shouldn't make a profit. What we're saying is that's not the only thing that is driving your success, right? That a profit at the expense of people is not a profit. And that's never going to shine the light of Christ in your workplace. And so if you're trying to be a Christian in the workplace, what is the measure of your success? The measure of your success has got to be, how are we helping the world? How are we helping people through whatever it may be? And that can be through any product. If you think about it, any product or service that's going to be good for people, right, can be seen as a missionary field. And just about every product is. I mean, there's some horrible products, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, you can't, it'd be really hard to rectify this if this was a pornography company that we're talking about, right? But
right.
If you're making soap, soap helps people, right? If you're, true. You know what I mean? Like, and if you're a business who is doing heating and air conditioning or whatever it may be, that helps people. But then also the money that God gives you from doing that, you can help people with that money too. So there's all kinds of ways to do that. Like, money's not the evil thing here. You know, the money's not the root of all evil. The love or pursuit or obsession with money is the root of all evil. It's where your heart goes with it. But money can do all kinds of good things. Money's an inanimate object, right? You can do great things with money. Lots of good things. So we're not saying, I just want to clarify, we're not saying you ain't got to make a profit. We're just saying, what's the real bottom line of success? How do you measure success, right? Like for me, success can no longer be measured in how many people show up to church. That cannot be success.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, that's not really serving anybody. That's serving me. Success has to be driven into a different metric of, you know, and it can still be number related, but it's not how many people are sitting in the seat, right? Because what does that really measure? It has to be in, well, how many people are we getting? How many people are going are coming to Christ? How many people are getting baptized? How many people took their Saturday and served at the Prove It Day here in our local community? You know what I mean? Like, those kind of things really, really matter. So many people wonder how to be an effective witness in their workplace. Just doing these last four things we referenced, I think, will set you off as a completely different community mm-hmm. in your workplace. You'll fulfill in co-creating with God. You'll do this with excellence. You'll do it with integrity, and you'll bless others, and others will see this. If you start putting together these, we got one more we'll do in the next episode. When you start putting together these first four, you realize that, man, if I'm somebody who sees my work as God has made me to work, and I am co-creating with him when I do it, and because I'm co-creating with him, I got to do it with a level of excellence because I'm doing it unto him.
Mm.
And if I'm co-creating it with him, I got to do it with a level of integrity and honesty because I'm doing it with God, right?
True.
And then also, if I'm doing it with him, that means I've got to do it with the mindset of blessing others. If you do those four things, people will notice it. They will see it. And you will definitely be, like Charlene asked, shining salt and light in your workplace. We didn't say anything in these first four that were like extremely difficult. Right? I mean, see your work as something that's not just an arduous thing you have to do, but an opportunity God gives us. See it as part of how God's made us to function as people, and know that we're co-creating with Him. It's not that hard. Just got to change your mindset. Do it like you're doing it unto God, not unto your boss, right? Excellence. Bring your best, right? Mm-hmm. Be honest, right? Be authentic. That's not groundbreaking. And then the next one is like we just talked about this episode, see your work as the main thing I'm doing is blessing others. How can I bless others through my work? None of this is groundbreaking and difficult, but I'm telling you, when you walk like that, you shine the light. All we really just gave you was exactly what Jesus did on earth. He saw his purpose, knew that God had created him for a purpose, brought him here for a purpose. He had a job to do, and everything that he did and touched, he was doing it with the Father, right?
Yeah.
He gave his absolute best. He took time to rest, though. He said no sometimes, right? Nobody's mm-hmm. saying you got to kill yourself. Do your best does not mean kill yourself at work, right?
Definitely.
Right? Because by the way, if you do that, I've lived this life. If you become a workaholic or you become overfocused on work, you think that you're giving work your best, but really you're not, because gradually your best is getting less and less and less because you're not taking care of yourself. So Jesus rests, but he's given excellence.
Yeah.
Right? He's doing the best. Jesus is bringing full honesty and transparency. He can't lie, right? He can't. He's perfect.
Exactly.
Right? So he's bringing honesty and integrity. That requires some hard conversations. If you look through Jesus's conversations in the gospel, about 60% of them, maybe 70% of them are hard conversations. Almost all of them are. Like, he's actively peacemaking, right? And he's walking through doing those things. But that also requires some rest, some reflection, and pulling back from other people. It obviously also requires an intense amount of prayer. For almost every time you see Jesus engaging in a hard conversation, you also see Jesus retreating in prayer, right? And so then you get to this other one. How do you see what your life is about? I'm here to bless other people. That's what we see Jesus doing. What does Jesus also have to do to continue to have the mindset of blessing other people? Retreat, pray, rest. He's connecting with a group of people, right? All we really just said was, how do you be salt and light? In other words, how do you be Jesus in the workplace? Well, you just look at how Jesus lived, and you live like he lived in your workplace with intention. See, I think a lot of people, and I've done this too, a lot of Christians go, I want to live like Jesus. And they're thinking about that in every area but work. I want to be a godly husband. I want to be a godly father, a mother, a friend. They're thinking about in church. They're thinking about in relationships. They're thinking about, but they're not thinking about doing it specifically at work, right? It's the mindset of work. What we end up doing in American culture is we compartmentalize this thing, and we go, work is work, and then I'm going to be a Christian the rest of the time. All this is doing is saying, nope, God owns it all. Right. I just preached this Sunday. Our only allegiance is to him. And so every other thing that we have to do is just worship towards him. So work, for example, is worship towards him. So all I got to do is do the will of God in that. And I'm going to not compartmentalize my life and go, OK, I want to be like Jesus everywhere but work. How about you see it a little differently and go, work's one of the primary places that God has me. The relationships that I have at work, I probably spend way more time with those people than I do with anybody else in my waking day, right? Because you spend more time with the people at your work than you do with your spouse, because the majority of time you spend with your spouse in a day is asleep, right? So you spend time with these people. So crazy. If God has me in this place, in this workplace, and most of us are going to work for 50 years, if not more, right? You're going to be in a full-time work setting, more than likely. Everybody got depressed hearing that just now, but you're going to be in a full-time.
My eyes got wide.
You're going to be in a full-time work setting for about 50 years. If you say, okay, you're getting a full-time job at 20, right? That could be different for some people. Some people, it might be 18. Some people, it might be 24 at 20. You're going to go till about 70, right? So we're talking around a little less for some, a little more for others, 50 years. Which, by the way,
hot dog,
is like 2/3 of your life. And it's going to be the majority of your waking week in those relationships at work. That's your mission field.
When you put it like that, and like you start thinking about like a graph or something, or a chunk of something, you're like, why would I spend that much time stressed and ticked off all the time, mad about something all the time? That's crazy.
That's a good point too, by the way. That's a really good point that you just made, because if you see it like that, you realize I have to think about work the way God wants me to think about it, because it's too much of my time, right? And it's too much of where I could be completely mad and ticked off and stressed out and worried and anxious, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is sitting here telling us, don't worry, don't be anxious.
Truly,
right?
Yeah.
And then we're doing it at work primarily.
They're like,
right?
But we're at work now. We're clocked in. Mm-hmm.
Some, we compartmentalize that. Yeah. Thing. Well, this is just how work is. No, it don't have to be that way, right? Be like Jesus, like he's live his life at work. And if you live your life like Jesus at work, you will be dropping salt all over the place and shining lights everywhere. That's just how it works.
Nice.
But the workplace, that's why I really think that the workplace is the, and I'm not the first one to say this, I'm just getting on a bandwagon, that the workplace really is the main missionary spot. Matter of fact, there's a section of the world that is the most unreached place in the world, and typically most poverty-stricken. It's in the other hemisphere. It's the, I can't remember the name of it. It's like, they call it like the 2060 or 2040 corridor. It's talking about the longitude and latitude of that area, right?
Okay.
And so it's just talking about this area. And it's the main unreached part of the world, main missionary part of the world. And it's hostile towards Christians. So you're not going to send traditional missionaries into that area. So what's happening is people are seeing their workplace as missionaries. So they're intentionally getting jobs as IT techs, as teachers, as accountants, as whatever they do in that area of the world, so that they can shine the gospel. And they're going, I'm going to work here on purpose so I can be a missionary, because I can't get in the door as a missionary.
Right.
I can get in the door as an IT tech, right? I can get in the door as a nurse. I can get in the door as whatever it is, right? And they're intentionally doing it. I think that mindset for overseas mission and unreached areas has to be the same mindset for America,
mm-hmm.
right? North America. Like, we got to see it as, you know, I'm going to go into this area, this place, this city, this town, in this job as a missionary. And I'm going to try to shine Jesus in this part of my life, not just every other part of my life.
Wow.
And I think that if we can equip people in the church, right? My job as pastor, our job as church leaders, and that's the same thing on this podcast. We are church leaders on this podcast. The Bible's very specific that our job is to equip the saints for ministry, right? Not do the ministry, equip the saints for ministry. Help people have the tools, knowledge, information, inspiration, whatever they need to be Jesus and evangelize and do the work of his church and ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the church has got to figure out how to empower people, to equip people to be missionaries in their workplace. And this is just the start of this, right? It's just the beginning of it. But obviously, all we're doing is trying to be like Jesus in our workplace intentionally, right? Mm-hmm. Not turn off our Christianity when we go to work and turn it back on when we leave. And I think that's our default. But that's not the case. And so if you want to shine the salt and light in your workplace, all we just said for the first four was literally do what Jesus did. And it will shine a bright light. It'll be unavoidable. And if enough people do that at the same time, then change actually starts to happen, right? That's like when you have, you know, you hear the church refer to revival and stuff like that, right? Revivals always precede an awakening. So if you look through church history and not just church history in the Bible, but also church history outside the Bible, you'll see that what happens is that several people start to have a renewal, right? Their faith gets renewed, their strength gets renewed, their mission mindset gets renewed. And then that leads to a revival. And a revival is the people of God being together, revived back to the calling of the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the church start to be revived, right, then it leads to an awakening. And an awakening is when other people, because of this renewal of the heart from some individuals, this revival that starts to happen through the local church, an awakening happens because all these other people who are not Christians, who not follow Jesus, now start to be awakened to the goodness of God through the revival and the renewal that's been happening. So when you have enough people going into the workplace, seeing it as a mission field, then all of a sudden there's renewal there, then there's a revival of it. Now all of a sudden you're going to have a great awakening that happens. And mm-hmm. I think one of the next great awakenings that's going to happen in the North American church is going to be in and through the workplace evangelism. It ain't even going to be tied to a specific church, right? It's not going to be somebody in the workplace getting everybody to come to their church. It's going to be them people coming to Jesus, and then Jesus placing them, the Holy Spirit placing them in what local churches they need to be in all throughout the area of wherever that workplace is. So, fun to talk about.
Yeah. I'm just feeling encouraged.
That's where it's going to happen next. Because
mm-hmm.
that's, like, you got to think, look at it. Like, think about it. Are people real open to, you know, side street preachers or any of that kind of crap now? No. Like, it's not, same thing with the method of invite to church. People aren't into that anymore. What it's going to take is real Christians living out a real faith in real life every single day at work, and people going, I want to know what that's like, and it not being tied to, well, come to my church and find out, right? Instead, it would be the person in that setting who's with them all the time going, let me tell you about my Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what it would be like, you know? And then the Holy Spirit guides them to the local church body they need to be a part of, right?
Right.
Anyway, just these first four would change your workplace. And then we got one more we're going to come back to next week that we'll talk about kind of being where you are. And how you see the Great Commission. So that's what we're going to do next. And I got a little ahead. I started talking about renewal, revival, awakening. I didn't even realize it was on the sheet. So we might not go back to that. We'll see. I didn't even realize it was there, Steph. That's cool, ain't it? So look under number five.
Oh, I was trying to see what you're talking about.
I didn't even realize it was there. I just started naturally talking about
it. Ain't that neat?
Anyway. Maybe I'll explain a little bit more, or maybe not. Maybe we'll go down to the closing when we get to, I don't know. But anyway, I didn't even realize I was there. I screwed up. I should have waited for that next week.
No, you didn't. I think someone needed to hear it.
It's the way
now,
it goes. It's the way it goes.
You'll hear it again next time.
Yeah, we'll say it again next time. We'll talk through it a little more. But anyway.
Well, I really like this episode.
This is the stuff, like, I always struggle with what is going to be helpful on the podcast for people,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I don't want this podcast to have anything to do with what, but except for helping people in this messy walk we have with Jesus. This thing's hard to walk out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
I want it to be helpful. And stuff like this is where it really matters. Like, we could sit around, like, I'm not saying that us talking through the podcast on helping you learn how to pray is not a good thing. It is. All right? Or helping you learn, you know, how to deal with depression. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. We've done those things on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But something like this, where you spend the majority of your time, this right here moves the ball forward. This is us literally walking together in the Great Commission in wherever God has us, right? This is yet another way to show you that the church is not a building or a local group of people. It is worldwide. It is everywhere. It is all the time, right?
Yeah.
And every single person listening, if you're listening to this thing right now, especially this deep in, and you're a Christ follower, you have a mission on your back, right?
You have
a purpose. Your purpose is not to just get through this life and praise God on Sundays and read your Bible, right? Like, your purpose is being given to you by Jesus. It is go and make disciples, right? That's not your church's purpose. That's your purpose. You are the church. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded of you. And by the way, you're not doing it by yourself. I'm with you even to the very end of the whole world. That's your mission. And so episodes like this, like this accidental sub-series, they really move the ball forward. Like, I'm constantly sitting around going, what would I pray for happening with this podcast? This is one of those series where I've been like, man, what if this podcast sparked 1, 2, 10, 15, 100 people to go be missionaries in their workplace?
Yeah.
It would begin to draw people to Christ all over the place, and we wouldn't even know it happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So,
I wonder if I should mention this, because I feel like we're at, like, kind of at the end of the episode.
Yeah, go for it.
While you were talking, I was thinking about something that I picture sometimes when I think about work. Like, it's easy to go to work and you're just going through the everyday mundane things and you're seeing the same people every day, mm-hmm. and you're getting irritated by the same people every day or whatever it is.
Right.
It's very easy to just keep your head down, but it's like it takes the Lord to help you look up and be like, wait, these are people I am seeing every day. These are people that need God every day like me. Yep. And, like, I sometimes think like this. I'm like, what if one of these people were to pass away today? How would I feel? I would be sad. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to just look at them as just my coworkers. I want right. to look at them as souls. Like, these are people that the Lord loves, you know?
And you have to intentionally do this.
Yeah.
Like for example, you also see your husband every day.
Yeah. Right?
Same person, same thing, every single day. And the longer you're married, Mary and I have been married 25 years. The longer you're married, you have to try. Like, mm-hmm. you have to get up and go, no, I'm going to intentionally love this person. I'm going to remind myself, this is my husband. Mm-hmm. This God has placed us together, even though he gets on my nerves or whatever it is, right? You have to tell yourself that. You have to remind yourself that and recommit all the time. Same thing with the people in your workplace.
Yeah.
Like, you got to, like, exactly what you just said. You've got to remind yourself, no, these are children of God. These are his people. And I get to be a part of their lives. And I'm going to remind myself of that. I'm going to remind myself of a bigger purpose. I'm going to remind myself that they're human just like me.
Yes, you know can take everybody for granted.
Yeah.
And it's like, it could just be gone.
You have to work at the people in your life who you committed to.
Yeah.
Right? Which means you're going to have to work for the people that you didn't have to commit to either, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, constantly. That's a good point.
That's something I think about. But when you were talking just then, it made me, like, think about it again. I'm like, maybe I need to mention that real quick, because that kind of goes with this, blessing others.
For sure.
Anyway.
Yep.
That's really all I had left.
Well, I ain't recapping this one because it's too much.
It's too much. And I think you recapped it already, to be real. Too,
so, yeah.
Anyway. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
And then continuing our series. And then, I guess, figuring out what we're doing next, as you said last time.
We always figuring that out. We don't never know.
True that. Well, thank y'all for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys. Especially this one. This one's longer than we've been doing lately. We're at about 40 minutes, 35 minutes. That's not too bad.
Shout out to Tina. Yep. She loves the long episodes. Tina, we love you.
Yep. Thank you guys for listening always. And, man, I am praying for you to be the salt and light in your workplace.
Yes. I'm going to pray it too.
Yep. I'm praying for you. And I'm just going to trust that God is going to use this podcast to spark that, and he's going to use you in the same way to spark people coming to Christ and getting closer to the Lord wherever it is you work and whatever it is you do. So, and you know, also, if you try this and you go through a long period and nobody at your work seems to be coming closer to Christ, one person is you.
Ooh.
Right?
True.
You are.
So true. Right? That's good.
So, yep. Let's end on that.
Yes. Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. See you. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.